Monday, February 9th. Memorial of St. Cyril of Alexandria, Doctor of the Church. The Epistle from the Second Letter of St. Paul to Timothy, chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Dearly beloved, I charge thee before God and Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead, by his coming and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, entreat, rebuke in all patience and doctrine. For there shall be a time when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires they will heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and will indeed turn away their hearing from the truth, but will be turned unto fables. But be thou vigilant, labor in all things, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill thy ministry. Be sober, for I am even now ready to be sacrificed, and the time of my dissolution is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. As to the rest, there is laid up for me a crown of justice, which the Lord, the just judge, will render to me in that day, and not only to me, but to them also that love his coming. Haydock Commentary. Preach the word in season, out of season, that is, whether the hearers are willing to hearken to thee or not, or, as others understand it, whether it be convenient or inconvenient for thee, to signify that the ministers of God must not desist from preaching whatever troubles they are under. Having itching ears, that is, the hearers have such ears, running after novelties and such doctrine as favors their passions. The time of my dissolution is at hand. This makes many judge that this letter was written during his last imprisonment, but the sense perhaps may be that, being old and worn out with labors, he would not live long. A crown of justice which the Lord, the just judge, will render to me. These words confirm the Catholic doctrine that good works performed with the assistance of God's grace deserve and are meritorious of a reward in heaven. For he says, a crown of justice from a just judge, which he will render or give as a reward. Yet we own with St. Augustine that we have no merit but what is also a gift of God from his grace and mercy, and grounded on his promises. The Gospel from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 19. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt lose its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is good for nothing any more but to be cast out and to be trodden on by men. You are the light of the world. A city seated on a mountain cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but upon a candlestick, that it may shine to all that are in the house. So let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For amen, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall not pass of the law till all be fulfilled. He therefore that shall break one of these least commandments and shall so teach men shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But he that shall do and teach, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Haydock Commentary. Christ now addresses his apostles, styling them the salt of the earth, meant to preserve men from the corruption of sin and to make them relish the truths of salvation. He tells them not to suffer their faith or their charity to slacken, in which all their power consists, lest they come to be rejected by God and despised by man. "I send you," says Jesus Christ, "not to 2, 10, or 20 cities, not to one single nation, as the prophets were sent, but to the whole world, a world oppressed with numberless iniquities." It is not the property of salt to restore what is already corrupted, but to preserve from corruption. Therefore, the virtue of the merits of Christ delivers us from the corruption of sin, but the care and labor of the apostles preserves us from again returning to it. So says St. John Chrysostom. This light of the world, city on a mountain, and candle upon a candlestick signify the Catholic Church, so built upon Christ the mountain that it must be visible and cannot be hidden or unknown. Therefore, the Church being a candle not under a bushel, but shining to all in the house, that is, in the world, what shall I say more, says St. Augustine, than that all are blind who shut their eyes against the candle which is set on the candlestick? I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill. It is true by Christ's coming, a multitude of ceremonies and sacrifices and circumcision were to cease, but the moral precepts were to continue and to be complied with even with greater perfection. Christ fulfilled the law by accomplishing all the figures and prophecies and perfecting all that was imperfect. He speaks in this manner to prepare the minds of the Jews for his new instructions. For although they were not very solicitous about fulfilling the law, still they were extremely jealous of any change being made in the letter of the law, more particularly if the proposed change exacted a more perfect morality. Our Lord fulfilled the law in three ways. First, by his obedience to the prescribed rites. Therefore, he says, it behooveth us to fulfill all justice. Second, he observes the law not only by his own observance of it, but likewise by enabling us to fulfill it. It was the intention of the law to make man just, but found itself too weak. Christ, therefore, came justifying man and accomplished the will of the law. Third, he fulfilled the law by reducing all the precepts of the old law to a more strict and powerful morality. So says St. John Chrysostom. Not one jot, not one tittle, that is, not the least letter nor stroke of a letter, not the least moral precept. Every type and figure of the former law, now by my coming, shall be fulfilled. He that shall break one of these least commandments, and shall so teach men, shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. That is, according to St. Augustine, he will not be in the kingdom of heaven at all, for none but the great in sanctity and virtue shall find admittance into heaven. Do not then imitate the scribes and Pharisees, who content themselves with instructing others in the precepts of the law without practicing them themselves, or if they observe the letter, neglect the spirit of the law, performing what it ordains, not to please God, but to satisfy their vanity.